Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, folks, and welcome to the second installment of Restore the Roar Live, coming to you from the Restore the Roar studios in Land Park, Sacramento, California. We're going to have some fun here. I'm your host, Sky Dickinson. Let's go. Okay, welcome to the show. As this Sacramento weather finally catches up with us, we had a very mild, very rainy spring, which is great because it doesn't get too hot out there on the fields of play. But then the flip side of that is we had some rainouts and some cancellations with which our athletic director, Rob Feikert, was able to work out perfectly. So today's show, we're going to focus on softball and baseball. We got the head coach of the softball team, Chris Abar, here. Yeah, do I have you here? Can you hear me, buddy? I think we got, let me try this again. Well, anyways, Chris will be chiming in here in short time. We'll get that figured out. And then we're going to cover some baseball as well. We're going to have Theo Dopkins on if this switchboard through New York operates correctly. Restore the Roar Live is brought to you by Simply Mobile, which is the greatest phone store I personally have ever been to. It's right there on the edge of Land Park, 4411 Freeport Boulevard. And stop in there, tell them Restore the Roar sent you, and you will be taken care of. Be sure to mention Restore the Roar. Talking about phone repairs, everything from phone repairs and accessories to incredible service plans. And off the top, that official Restore the Roar intro song there was put together by Class of 96 alum Chris Pilar. So again, softball and baseball today. Two very successful teams in the 2018 spring campaign. In fact, their numbers, I'll get into this later, some of their numbers are eerily similar. It was crazy. Those fields, if you know McClatchy well, they are adjacent to one another, and a lot of big things going on both those fields. Chris Abar is the head coach. Do we have you here now? Do we have you live, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you
Excellent.
Hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can, man. We're good. We're good to go. We're on a slight delay, you know, like a second or a second and a half, but you know, that even happens on ESPN and everything. So we're going to be fine. Welcome to the show, buddy. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. So I'm getting into the numbers. This is my first, actually my second year becoming acquainted with CK McClatchy softball. When I attended the Fine High School myself in the late 90s, I played some baseball. When you're playing baseball, you don't really get over to the softball fields much because it's going on at the same time. So I didn't truly appreciate until this last couple years the speed with which the game is played, the strategy, the precision, and it's amazing stuff. And to be able to get up so up close there in the backstop, I've been able to get some great pictures and videos, man. So I just want to say off the top, thanks for the open welcome and congratulations on putting together such a successful team. How many years have you been at the helm of CKM softball?
I've been here since 2012, so about 7 years I've been here at McClatchy.
Right on. And has it always been a top of the Metro League type of thing? Was this a slow build to the top? How'd it work?
It's hit and miss. I mean, to be honest, being able to coach, you know, McClatchy, as I started coaching, you just kind of get to see the history, and especially in softball, now that I've been here for 7 years, a lot of history that I found out about. When you have, we've had players that have come through that have played here, you know, years ago, come back to help. I know Coach G came back to help, but they were winning Metro titles when I was the coach at Cal Middle School. So, I mean, it's a long history of winning here. And you know, a lot of alumni come back and give back. I know last year, or the year before last, we had Bree Ruiz come. She's a radio personality for, I think she was on KSFM 102, if I'm not mistaken. And she came out to help. Ashley Lowe, who went to Southern Oregon, came out to help. Jenna Fong, who was one of the probably the best pitchers to ever come out of McClatchy, came and threw batting practice for one of our playoff games, or before one of our playoff games, 2 years ago. And then, of course, you have, you know, players like Stephanie Hayward, who've been here and graduated from Cal Poly this year. McClatchy softball has a long, rich history, and I probably would have never known unless I had a daughter that I coached and came out to coach. But, I mean, now that I've been here for 7 years, I mean, you learn about the history of the softball program, and it's a really rich history. I'm definitely happy to be the coach here.
That's awesome, man, and we're happy to have you. And what a domino effect there with the graduating players coming back and helping out, and then the current players seeing that and obviously looking forward to their opportunity to do that someday. That's fantastic. When does the season, I mean, I know the season itself gets going early March. When are tryouts and the initial practices and the conditioning and everything? Walk me through that whole schedule.
We'll have our softball meeting in December, like right before Christmas, and then we'll kind of reconvene the first week of January for strength and conditioning. I can't really touch a ball until the first week of February. But, yeah, I mean, we start – it's a long process for a couple months of softball.
For sure, yeah.
Definitely
that's
definitely working hard.
When that schedule gets going, yeah, you're exactly right. It goes quick. And you guys got started, on the Max Preps list, a 0-0 tie against West Campus. That must have been some type of forfeiture or rainout or something? Or did you really tie them 0-0?
No. Oh, dude, it was two great pitchers going head-to-head. Sidney Bruce, who pitches for West Campus, was actually on that day, threw a great game. And, of course, you know Ashley Dendis is going to go out there and completely dominate. And if it wasn't for her in that game, it would have been a tough one. It was a pitcher's duel. Actually, it was a beautiful game to watch, even though we didn't win or lose. But it was a beautiful game to watch because it was good defense played, great pitching, and it was early in the season. And struggling with all the rainouts and reschedules and, you know, canceled practices, It took a couple games for us to get our feet back under us.
Yeah, I suppose I could have just clicked on the box score link for that 0-0 game before speaking, but I just did that. And yeah, Ashley, 16 strikeouts, just like you mentioned. And let's go ahead and get into Ashley Dendis here. If you haven't seen McClatchy softball yet, they got a wonderful team. You know, it's not a one woman show by any way, shape, or form, but Ashley Dendis is doing some very, very special things on the mound here. In that game, she struck out 16 in 7 innings, gave up 1 hit. At what point did she appear on your radar? Did she go through Cal Middle School as well?
She went to Sutter, but I coached her sister Caitlin here. And Caitlin Dendis, I mean, led the league in home runs and batting average for a few years. She was All-Metro Player of the Year as well. And I met Ashley when I believe she was like in the 6th grade, and you would just see her throwing off to the side with her mom, and I tell you what, she could pitch at a high school level when she was in the 6th or 7th grade. The kid throws hard, she works really hard, she's a perfectionist. We butt heads from time to time, but I tell you what, she's a great kid, and she just expects more from herself, and she's a great leader, man, and you know, I'm happy to have her. You know, she's got some ridiculous numbers. Her ERA is 1.76, which is it's a crazy number. I mean, she broke the strikeout record this year, and that strikeout record was held by Gabby McDaniel, who ended up going to UOP, who's a fantastic player. I actually had the opportunity to watch her play when she was here at McClatchy. But Ashley's done some awesome things, dude. She's batted a 525, which is ridiculous. And coaching a player like Ashley definitely keeps you on your toes. And you can count on one hand those type of athletes who come through the program. And definitely McClatchy has a special athlete in Ashley Dendis.
Yeah, that wasn't difficult for me to recognize either. She attacks hitters, absolutely attacks them. But the perfect athlete in the sense that when she steps between those lines, she's an assassin. You sit down for an interview, very down to earth, calm gal. I mean, I could see how you guys butt heads, man. Two competitive people. That makes perfect sense. I'm just going to go down the roster right here in terms of class, as far as this year, what year your players were in. So without naming the names, your roster consisted of freshman, junior, freshman, sophomore, and then the lone senior. Did that happen on purpose? Does things happen in waves? You are so stacked for the next couple of years. I'm excited. I'm very excited, as I imagine you are as well. How'd that happen?
Yeah, I mean, it sort of happens in waves. Like last year, our class was, we had, I believe it was five seniors. Gabby Jimenez, and it was crazy because all five of those seniors are playing ball in college. So Gabby Jimenez, wow, who went to Utah State, Cassidy Bush, who's playing ball at Westminster, Marin Bernal, who's pitching for Coppin State, Shira O'Neill, who's playing for Laverne, and Nicole Self, who is at West Virginia Tech. So, I mean, we were very blessed last year.
And Dendis up at
roster,
up. But, Dendis at Humboldt,
and
right?
Caitlin Dendis is at Humboldt State, yes.
Oh, that's incredible, Coach.
So six.
That's incredible.
Definitely very lucky to have those guys last year.
Yeah. Then I don't want to leave anybody out who's deserving. Again, you got a good tight-knit squad top to bottom. Talk just a bit about the freshman Annalyn Brown. Okay, 446 batting average. 17 hits, 25 hits, 17 runs, 15 RBI, and a tough, tough softball player. I was at a game where she was blasted in the hand in the seventh inning, and getting hit in the hand, the feet, I mean, gosh, that hurts. That's always hurt the worst for me. And she just shook it off like a champion. Her mom was standing right next to me, and she goes, and I made a comment of like, my gosh, that's some serious toughness. And she goes, yeah, if she cries, I know we're going to the hospital. Because she's just such a tough gal. So she makes the first, she makes it around to score the winning run. Talk a bit about her. Great call. And any other freshmen you want to talk about?
Yeah, Anna Lynn, I mean, she was first team All-Metro this year. And the kid does whatever I ask of her. If she needs a slap, she slaps. If I have her drag bunt, she'll drag bunt. She executes, and that's the thing. You don't have to be the fastest. You don't have to be the strongest. It's just, are you willing to do what the team needs you to do? You know, and she was a perfect example of an unselfish player. I've coached Anna Lynn since she was 9 years old through my travel ball program. And Anna Lynn is valiant. I mean, to come as a freshman and play at that level and just play with kids like Ashley Dendis and JoJo Bryant and Mia Viegas, you know, those are upperclassmen. And, you know, Ashley's not really an upperclassman, but she plays like a senior. And, you know, to rise to the occasion, man, I was really proud of the kid. You also had Claire Yanez, who was tit for tat with Ashley through the whole season in batting average. Izzy Arnault was a starting outfielder. Morgan came through and hit. Ayla Tate came through, played some good outfield for us. You had Jasmine Montez, who we pulled up from JV and actually got the start in the playoff game against Folsom. And she did a great job. And then you have my daughter, Serena Abar, who made a few great plays, sparked a rally against Laguna Creek. So definitely had some freshmen that stepped up. I don't think had it been for them that we'd be in the same situation. I mean, these guys are – they definitely stepped up as a group and played well together. And I think Ashley Dendis led us pretty well through this season.
Well, that's a pretty pretty good synopsis of a very good squad there. I've also had the opportunity to bring out my daughter who turned five during your season, and standing on a milk crate, upside down milk crate, she could just see over the edge of the backstop there into the action. She's pretty excited
awesome,
to be in the middle
man.
Of things. Yeah, it really is. Thank you, man. It's great to be able to share that with her. And, you know, her she's just wide-eyed as she watches things go down. And one thing she notices, the most interesting things. The other day we were riding in the car and she asks me, "Dad, how come baseball players don't like to sing?" And I said, "What do you mean baseball players don't like to sing?" And she goes, "Whenever we go to a baseball game, they're never singing. But when we go to a softball game, they sing all the time." What is that something you set aside a little bit of practice time for, to get that all orchestrated? Because I imagine that does take some time and timing.
It's just team chemistry. I mean, coming from the softball travel world, and all these girls play on a travel team, whether it's my team or a different team. And that's just kind of the environment for softball. I know the College World Series was just on, and if you watch College World Series, that's all those guys do is, you know, it just keeps everybody in the game. For me, I mean, it's you get used to it. But, yeah, no, we don't necessarily set time aside to practice. They pretty much have cheers, and you know, they're all into the game. They all want to be here. This is a really fun group to coach. It's funny coming from a baseball background and a football background. I never thought coaching, you know, young female athletes was going to be my cup of tea. But I tell you what, dude, I've learned a lot from these female athletes, even more so than I have from the male athletes that I played with. And these guys are very inspiring to see some of these guys work their tail off, you know, to have the commitment to stick with the dream that they had when they were 8, 9 years old to play ball in college, and actually see them fulfill that commitment is awesome, man. The female athlete is definitely, you know, on its way. They're on the move, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. Some of these girls work their butts off, and I know we had last year, Gabby Jimenez, she would go every day hitting, conditioning, catching after practice at McClatchy. She would do that stuff outside of practice. And the same goes for the rest of these girls. I mean, it's a commitment. And to see them set a goal and do whatever it takes to achieve that goal is a pretty awesome thing.
I bet it is. I bet it is. And, yeah, for those folks who are listening to this and don't know what's going on there in the corner diamond at the the McClatchy softball complex, you got to check it out. And really, you can get the best seat in the house. You can really usually pull up right behind that backstop and immerse yourself in the middle of everything. Talk a bit about, before I let you go here, and huge thanks for coming on, Restore the Roar Live, brought to you by Simply Mobile at 4411 Freeport Boulevard. Before we let you go here, Coach, go ahead and talk a bit about your traveling squad, and how long have you been doing that, and what's the timing on that as far as how it lines up with the season?
We're pretty much year-round with the exception of the high school season now that I have girls in high school. I've started my SAC Hitters program in 2008, and it's just based on I started that program to get girls who didn't have the opportunity to play on that big stage. Travel ball is expensive, we find ways to make it affordable. A lot of programs don't do that. You either, if you don't pay, you don't play type of deal, but we find ways to get girls sponsored through fundraising. Whatever we need to do, we try to keep our program as cheap as possible, and it's geared towards the youth in our area, Pocket, Lampart, Oak Park, Tautilac. I mean, I have girls from all over this area, and basically to provide opportunity, you know. I mean, I grew up in Oak Park. That was the only thing that kind of set kids apart was the opportunity, you know. Some kids never had that opportunity but had all the talent in the world. So for me, growing up, I felt that way. So, you know, the old saying is be who you needed when you were that age. So that's what we're trying to do through My Hitters program is provide opportunity to girls who would have never had that chance. And I think we're doing a pretty good job. We'll be in Oregon this next Father's Day weekend in a college showcase. So, you know, that's our goal, and we're going to try to help these girls fulfill their goals and kind of show them a positive way to move forward.
Well, that's excellent, Coach. And, again, I mean, on behalf of Restore the Roar, We're lucky to have you doing what you do, and don't be a stranger to the show. As next year gets going, we're going to have you on to preview the squad, and things will keep on rolling good, man. So congratulations to the McClatchy softball 2019 team. They the squad went 11-1 in Metro. Co-Metro champs. Do I have that right, Coach?
Co-Metro champs, man, with basically no senior. I know our senior got hurt early mid-season. And, yeah, I mean, this was with freshmen, sophomore, and juniors. And we were co-Metro champs with River City High School, who River City has a very storied program, great coach over there. And just to be able to be mentioned in the same sentence as those guys is definitely an honor. But us being as young as we are, I know other teams are pretty scared of that. You know, knowing that we're going to have a very young team for a long time is pretty impressive.
You know, so there you go. There's the first preview of the 2020 CKM softball team, which is going to be stacked. You heard it here first. You can quote me on that. I'm Sky Dickinson. Hey, thanks a bunch, Coach.
Hey,
appreciate your time, man. We'll be talking to you soon.
Sky, before I get off, I have to give a shout-out to my coaches. Vince Boncori has been doing this since the 80s. He came over from Laguna Creek, and without that guy, I mean, he brought chemistry to this team. Without him, I don't think we go as far as we go. I don't think we even contend for Metro. Gilda Lewis is McClatchy alumni who gives back. She's a young woman who is, you know, something to model yourself after. She's got a great job, went to college. She provides opportunity for our girls. I mean, Gilda brings an aspect to this team that I don't think other teams have that advantage, you know, having a coach like Gilda Lewis and Vince Boncori. So before we sign off, I definitely want to give them credit. And thanks to Rob Feichert, man, he's definitely been a great AD, very supportive. And, you know, we definitely appreciate him being our AD.
Excellent, Coach. Thank you for all of that. And you have a good rest of your Sunday, man. Talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
You bet. Okay, then the second episode of Restore the Roar Live. We're going to do a first here, I believe. And this is going to be the first student-athlete we've had on live. If every connection is like I think it should be, we got senior Theo Dopkins, who just walked the graduation stage this past Friday after an amazing spring 2019 baseball campaign. We'll get into the specifics there. Theo, do I got you here, buddy?
Yeah. What's going on, Sky?
Excellent. Not too much, man. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. Happy to be graduated. Happy to be done with, you know, everything. Had a great season, and I'm excited to get working out this summer so I can be ready to go to San Francisco next year.
That must have felt cool to close the book on that chapter. I know when my daughter graduated preschool recently, I was like, cool, you know, on to the next thing.
Yeah.
You graduated high school on to college at San Francisco State. So what's before we get into this amazing season that you had, what's the summer look like? I remember when I sat down with you in Coach Feichert's office, you said the throwing is going to be kind of curtailed as you get into your freshman season.
Yeah. I'm going to be completely shut down for the summer. I probably won't throw until next fall when I meet my new team, but just going to be a lot of working out. I actually got an in with McClatchy alumni Ryan Royster and Danny Royster, that he's going to set me up with one of his guys that he sent. He's a professional agent, so he hooked me up with one of his best guys that he sends all his clients to, and I'm going to be working out with some Davis kids also.
Very cool. The Royster name obviously means a lot in CK McClatchy baseball. I had contacted Coach Mike this weekend. I was going to see if Coach Mike wanted to come on. He said, hey, give it to Theo. Let him come on, and with he said, you know, get a lot more listens. That's what he said. Thanks for coming on, buddy. Like I told Coach, there's like a 1 second delay in us hearing each other's voices, so it's not like we're in the same room talking. But that's just how it works in biz. I mean, that even happens on ESPN. So, okay. So overall, 22-9 McClatchy baseball, 9-3 in Metro. Extremely interesting schedule, and they'll have a really, really strong competition one day and then a different type of situation sometimes the next. So they kind of ride a roller coaster throughout the season. But talk about your mentality going into the year as one of the seniors.
My mentality was from the get-go, I knew I was going to have to step up, be a leader. I was going to have to, you know, show the young guys the ropes. But I also knew that there was a lot of young talent coming up, and I knew that, you know, there's guys like Ben Silva who they already have a sort of leadership role built into themselves as just part of their character. So I knew I was going to get some help. And then Jacob and JoJo are great other seniors, and they're also great leaders, and they really helped me out. So I knew when I saw how we were playing in fall ball, I knew we were going to have maybe something that was going to surprise a lot of people. I have to admit, I didn't think it was going to be as special until we got probably mid-season. When we came back from our spring San Diego trip, that's when I knew, wow, this team's a lot better than anyone really thought we could be. And but yeah, man, I knew I'd have to step up and take that leadership role, and I'm glad that, you know, Coach Mike gave me the opportunity to do that, and I'm glad the team kind of accepted me as their leader, and we were able to win as much as we did. And in those 9 losses, they were setbacks, and you know, it was a learning experience, but we really did learn from those losses, and we did come back, and obviously through our playoff run, we showed that we can compete with any team in Sacramento.
There you go, man. And that reminds me of one of the greatest phrases I've ever heard, and that is, win or lose, you only truly lose if you don't learn. And yeah, that's exactly right, man. So you I'm looking at your max prep stats here, and I'm understanding there's going to be a huge shift in California CIF sports from max preps to the CIF is getting their own thing going, independent thing going on. And so we'll see how that goes. But max preps has been good to me. And I'm looking at a 105 ERA, 1.05, folks. And
those playoff games, they pushed it up a little bit, but you know, I would rather have a higher ERA against better teams than keep those low ERAs against the lower teams.
I hear you. Okay, yeah. So let's dive right into the playoffs. The historic year for McClatchy baseball. They hadn't won a Division I postseason game since Danny Schultz and the rest of them in 1998. So first round, you go to Davis. And you pitched that first rounder at Davis, right?
Yeah.
A complete game? Did you go all 8?
No, I wasn't able to go all 8. I got into the 6th, and my pitch count was really up there. I think I was around 115, 120. Whew. But, yeah, and then I handed it off to the junior, Vinny Hernandez, who had been great all year. He's just a guy that really surprised me. He showed a lot of mental toughness coming into that game, and he shoved it on them, and you know, we had some very clutch hits by Emilio Huizar, and it was really one of the most amazing McClatchy baseball experiences I've ever had in my life.
That's great. And it continued 2 days later when we hosted Grigori, who managed to knock off the number 4 team. So McClatchy, kind of interestingly got a 12 ranking. I don't know about that one, but you guys ended up hosting a game, and that was an incredible game as well. I was there to get the video of the walk-off there. So you guys go into the bottom of the 7th down 3-4, right?
In the Davis game, we were down.
No, the Gregory game.
Oh, yeah, the Gregory game, we were down 3-4. Yeah, we had the bases loaded, and JoJo Fong got walks, and then that brought in a run, and then Big X Ramirez was able to get a ball deep enough in the outfield and get that sack fly that scored us that winning run, if the Davis game was number 1, then that moment was definitely number 2 on my list.
Gotcha. And that was played in an interesting fashion. It was a high stakes situation there. A Gregory team that came up all the way from Modesto, I believe. And then there was a ball hit. It was hit to deep shortstop. Had the left fielder been able to catch that ball, that could have been a tough play to score on, huh?
Yeah.
But things worked out for McClatchy. Then you went on to a real tough shake there as far as the Vacaville game goes. I had a few dozen people were going to fill the seats, you know, just for me at Sac City. But the rain forced the game to be played in Vacaville. Damn it. That was a bummer. And was that kind of a difficult thing? You were mentally planning for one thing and then the whole switcheroo at the end?
Yeah, that was really tough. And I mean, still upset about it, but hey, what are you going to do? You gotta learn to play anywhere under any circumstance. And, you know, unfortunately it didn't go our way, and maybe it would have if we had played at Sac City, or if we had, you know, they put it at a more neutral location, but you know, that's just part of the game, and that's just how things worked out for us.
For sure. It happens. Yeah. Nobody's fault. Mother Nature. Okay. So yeah. Folks, just to get a little more specific, this man I'm talking to right now, Theo Dopkins, is the Bill Morgan Sportsmanship Award winner in 2019, along with tennis player Daisy Lewis. That's given to a student athlete, not only exceeded high performance. An athlete who demonstrated high performance in the athletic fields and the classroom. So let's go. Let's talk about, give me a couple favorites here. What's your favorite pitch to throw, and what's your favorite class that you took in your senior year?
My favorite pitch to throw is definitely my curveball. I love getting a good reaction out of the stands or out of my bench whenever I throw one that breaks off or fools a hitter. My favorite class is like I said when we last talked was statistics, because you know Mr. Kwong is a great teacher, and I just love statistics, and I love that class.
Yeah, so you're setting yourself up well for the future, man. You're representing Lions well. And keep do your thing, and let us know how it goes at San Francisco, and I'll continue to get you out there. Okay, man?
All right. Thank you so much.
You bet, Theo. Talk soon, buddy.
All right. Yeah. See ya.
All right. That was senior Theo Dopkins. So we covered some softball. We covered some baseball. We already went through over a half hour here on the second episode of Restore the Roar Live. Hey, you got a little cracked phone, something like that? Need a little charger, something like that? You're going to stop by Simply Mobile at the southeastern edge of Land Park, 4411 Freeport Boulevard, and that little shopping complex. And I'm not exactly sure who we're going to have on 2 weeks from today. This is going to be a every other Sunday afternoon show. You could listen live at 2 p.m. Pacific, or you could, of course, listen to it anytime you want after that, at any time, on demand, for free. So, folks, we got a few fundraising pushes that we're going to do here, specifically in the next couple weeks. We are in dire need of a new storage container for football and track things, as well as the updating of the baseball scoreboards. And these are not too lofty goals. These are going to be within reach here. So check out the donation page is being revamped. And in the next 24 hours, we're going to have something up where we can specifically donate to this new storage container, the updating of the scoreboards. And please understand that the funds generated by Restore the Roar go totally towards these athletes and the facilities and the equipment needed to continue to modernize our facilities and continue to allow our teams to compete on the highest level. I'm Sky Dickinson, folks. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time.